Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer.
Good evening. I'm Jack Krasula, and tonight we mark our 800th show. I'd like to offer some personal thoughts and share a few phenomenal stories from these past 15 years. In life, most people quit after they hear the word no once. Another 2% quit after they hear the word no 5 times. But 95% of us quit even before we ever hear the word no. The remaining 1%, those that never quit, are the pool of people that we've learned from and had the honor to have on our show. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible, a News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula, this is Anything Is Possible. As I said in the one-minute intro, tonight marks our 800th show, and I'd like to offer some personal thoughts and share a few phenomenal stories. We've been blessed to have as guests astronauts, athletes, broadcasters, business leaders, educational leaders, medical leaders, motivational speakers, musicians, non-for-profit leaders, public servants, religious leaders, and writers. As I reflect on the common traits of the 800 guests, I come up with the following. They started with nothing but a huge dream against insurmountable odds. Each one had life give them a huge setback, curveballs, mountains to climb, etc. They held on when most others would have quit. They did their best every day. They focused on today. They were givers. They believed in serving others. They surrounded themselves with great people who had the same culture and were world class in the role that they played, that they could learn from those people. They set extremely high standards for themselves and their teams. They were masters at communication. They were optimists. They stayed humble. They stayed grateful. They gave back where they're giving back to their fellow man every day. They view each day as a new tryout. And in 95% of the cases, faith has played a major role in their life. At the end of the show, I ask the same question. I say, what would you say to our listeners tonight? What advice would you give our listeners tonight? The words have been different, but the message has been the same every time. One, figure out what special gifts and talents God has blessed you with. Two, work to become the best you can be by using these gifts or talents. Three, work for or with an organization that you believe in, whose culture fits your culture. Four, work very hard and never give up. Never give up. And lastly, and the rest will follow. You wake up 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years later, and it's amazing how it all came to be, really, in spite of yourselves and all of the setbacks. Each of these great Americans believe some common things. One, success is a journey, not a destination. Three steps forward, two back, one forward, five back. It's a journey, not a destination. And the real joy in life is the journey. The most important thing is not what happens to you, it's how you react to it. The only constant in life is change. All of our energy and focus must be spent on doing our best today. Circumstances don't make the man. Circumstances expose the man. Opportunities are meant to be seized and risks must be taken. They go after opportunities. They don't hide from opportunities or challenges. We must keep learning while we are earning. Let me say that again. We must keep learning while we are earning. So those are some of the things that the people believe in. Now for a few stories. Number one, Mary Bremer grew up in Beverly Hills in a mansion, blonde Hollywood star. Falls in love with a guy, wealthy man, they get married. She moves down the street, another street in Beverly Hills, into a bigger mansion. They have two children. The marriage doesn't work, they get a divorce. Mary Bremer marries a wealthier guy. This guy had two businesses, even bigger mansion in Beverly Hills. They have five more children. She's 50 years old. All she's ever known is mansions in Beverly Hills, and the second husband dies. And the last kid leaves home. She's 50 years old. This woman who's been around movie stars and money and mansions for 50 years sells the two businesses, sells the mansion, and she becomes a nun. She becomes a nun, and she goes to the La Mesa prison in Tijuana, Mexico, which is the worst, notorious prison in all of Mexico. 9,500 of the worst hombres in all of Mexico. And she asked the warden for a 10-foot by 10-foot cell. And for the last 26 years of her life, that became her mansion. A 10-foot by 10-foot cell in the La Mesa prison in Tijuana, Mexico. That was in 1976. 2003, she organizes a new community of sisters, the Eudist Servants of the 11th Hour. And these were widows and divorced women in the 11th hour of their life, seeking new moments and meaning in their life. She was known as a prison angel. They wrote a book about her, movie about her. She was a modern day saint. And she talked about how she was the mother to these 9,500 awful hombres. Every time there was a riot, a fire would break out, the guards would all leave and they would send in the prison angel, the mother angel, to calm down her sons. On October 17th, 2013, she asked a couple of her nuns to roll her down through the prison one more time to say goodbye to her 9,500 sons. And then she died later that day. Her name, Mother Antonia. I'm Jack Grasula. This is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Grasula, and tonight is our 800th show, and I'm sharing some stories and thoughts about some of the phenomenal guests we've had these last 15 plus years. Bob Woodruff. Johnny Janopoulos has always said, Jackie, you have a face for radio. Guilty as charged. Bob Woodruff had a face for TV. Grew up in Bloomfield Hills, went to Cranbrook, received a BA degree from Colgate and a law degree from the University of Michigan Law School. He's teaching law in Beijing. He and his wife, Lee, are living in Beijing. And then they had that Tiananmen Square uprising, 1989. CBS called him and said, we need somebody out there to tell us what's going on. Would you just do it? That's how he got into broadcasting. On January 3rd, 2006, he and Elizabeth Vargas become the first co-anchor for ABC Nightly News, replacing Peter Jennings. First time they had two people doing the nightly news. That was back when we would listen to the nightly news. 26 days later, January 29th, 2006, he's in Baghdad doing a story in a tank, and he's nearly killed by a roadside bomb. A major part of his skull got blown off. Lee was in Disneyland with their four kids. The president of ABC News called, said, Lee, there's been an accident. The Russian bomb to Lansdorf Air Force Base in Germany. We got a jet coming down. We're going to pick you up, take the kids home, and then we're going to fly you to Germany. Eventually, they got him to Walter Reed Hospital, and he's a vegetable. He's in a coma. And they say, Lee, we don't know how long he's going to live, but this is the state that he's going to be in for the rest of his life. And she would go there at 6:30 every morning just to sit with him all day. And on the 35th day, at 6 o'clock in the morning, he miraculously wakes up. Nobody's in the room. The nurses aren't there. And he sits up. And at 6:30 in the morning, here walks in his wife, Lee. And he looks at her and he says, Lee, honey, where have you been? She says, I didn't know whether to hug him or hit him. What do you mean, where have I been? But all the wires in the brain were all messed up. They had twin daughters who I think were like 4 or 5 years old. The daughters had to teach dad that this was a fork and this is the knife. Not vice versa. Dad, this is the cup and this is the glass. Everything was backwards. And he's about 90, 95% back to recovery. Well, from that point on, for the last 14 years, he and Lee have focused their energies on helping these young heroes that have come back from Iraq, Afghanistan, Syria, etc., with the brain damages. And they've gone to Tony Bennett and Lady Gaga and The Boss, and they do concerts when concerts were allowed, and they've raised tens and tens of millions for this. That's become their cause. One of the most amazing things that people have taught me is that how often the worst thing that ever happened to you in life, ultimately you come to realize in God's master plan, it's the best thing that ever happened to you in your life, if you can learn to let go and let God. And I asked Bob, I said, Bob, let's go back to that morning, January 29th, 2006. God says, if you go in this tank today, Bob, here's what's going to happen to you. Your choice. You want in or out? He looked at me and he said, Jack, put me in that tank. Heavenly Father, put me in that tank. Because he realized this has been his journey now, his real calling in life, other than being the husband to Lee and the father of those four kids, to help the wounded veterans from the Iraq, Afghanistan, Syrian war, etc. Bob Woodruff. God is in control, friends. It may not look it. He's in control. And if we let him, he'll do fantastic, phenomenal things through us. That's how it works. Okay, let's go back to 1967. There's a housewife in Taylor, Michigan, southern suburb of Detroit. She has five children under the age of 10. Her name is Eleanor Jositis. And we have the riots or the uprising, Detroit, 1967. There's a priest, Father Bill Cunningham, Irish priest, bigger than life, very enthusiastic, hair that I would die for. And he starts Focus Hope to bring the races together. And the first person he goes to help him, to volunteer with him, is a suburban housewife with five kids under the age of 10 in Taylor, Michigan. 6 months later, Eleanor comes home and says, "Honey, Don, we have to move back to the city of Detroit." Friends, this is when all the U-Hauls were going out of the city of Detroit. Her mom and dad, Eleanor's mom and dad, takes her to court to take those five kids away from her because their daughter was nuts. One of Don's brothers took her to court to force her to use her maiden name so we wouldn't embarrass the Jositis name. In the 90s, Father Cunningham dies, and everybody thought, it's over. What comes to be, the reality was, she was stronger than him. Anybody that ever dealt with her or had the honor or the fear to be around her, she was like a little 5-foot bulldozer running through a field of marshmallows. It was unbelievable. Somebody that did work for her once said that her definition of retail is when it wasn't free. She would go to the big three, the Rick Wagners, the Red Polings, etc., and say, "You see that abandoned building on Oakman Boulevard? I need you to buy it. Here's what I need it to look like inside. I want to make it a manufacturing facility. I want to make it a education facility. Here's the blueprints of what I want need it to look like inside. You go buy it, you make it look like this, and then you give me the keys." And friends, nobody could say no to her. She died in August of 2011. When she met our Maker, and he said, "Eleanor, well done, good and faithful servant," I guarantee you, she looked around at heaven and said, "God, we got to change this, and we got to change this, and we got to change this." And our Heavenly Father said, "Eleanor, good idea. I'll do it." Eleanor Jositis. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula. This is our 800th show, and I'm sharing with you some of the more phenomenal stories and people that we've had the honor to learn from. I've always said, I'm not the host of the show. I'm the beneficiary of the show. A couple of years ago, I met a young lady, Jenny Brown, from Rochester, Michigan. Tall, slender, beautiful lady. She was the sixth of 14 children. She was a basketball player in college and a model, and then a teacher for special needs students. One of her sisters, Becca, has Down syndrome. In 2010, she starts Dutton Farm. And what it is was a plot of ground that was given to her. And she started growing vegetables, etc., and then put up a little shack in the front to sell the vegetables. And then she got into doing candles and soap and now disinfectants so that she had something to sell year-round. She's the mother of five children. The oldest one was born in 2009. So the oldest one is 11 years old. And that little child was one. She started Dutton Farms. Two of those children are adopted children with special needs. It's amazing that a mother of five, two adopted children, running a business, Dutton Farm. gets even better. As the late, great Paul Harvey would say, and now the rest of the story. Today, Dutton Farm has 100 employees. This mother of five, two adopted special needs children, running a business of 100 people. Amazing. Hold on to your seats. All 100 employees have something in common. Each one of them is special needs. Impossible. I know the name of the show and I say, with God, anything is possible. But friends, that's impossible. Another thing I've learned through these 15 plus years is whenever there's been a guest that's had a special need child, they ultimately come to realize that that child is their teacher, their hero, their gift from God, their angel. For them, their spouse, their whole family. A gift of God. Jenny Brown, if you want to learn more, www.duttonfarm.org. Peter Pretorius from South Africa, not the Blade Runner. This Peter was a tobacco farmer, a Formula One race car driver, and by his own admission, a wild man. He wasn't even sure there was a God. And one day in 1984, he's in Johannesburg and he hears that there's a feeding center in Mozambique. So he has a guy fly him a little puddle jumper for the day, two bottles of water, clothes on his back, and the deal was, you come back tonight, pick me up, fly me home. Well, the pilot didn't come back for 10 days. Peter's wife, Ann, no phones, etc., thought he died. He was just gone for 10 days. He gets to this feeding center, friends, and there's 30,000 people in this feeding center with no food. And the first thing that happens to him is a mom comes up with her little infant son and says, sir, would you please hold my son while I try to go find some water? And while the mom is gone and he's holding the little boy, the boy starves to death in Peter's arms. And when the moms come back, Peter's got to give the dead son to the mom. Peter watched hundreds of kids each of those 10 days starve to death in that feeding center. Not go to bed hungry, starve to death. Peter says, still today, every 8 seconds, a child dies of starvation in the world today. In this course of this 1 hour show, that means 450 people, fellow human beings, children of God, will starve to death in this 1 hour. 10,800 a day. So Peter's screaming for 10 days, God, get me out of here. What the hell's wrong with you? Are you even up there? Why you let this? Screaming at God for 10 days. And on the 10th day, God says, Peter, do what you can to feed them, and I'll help you. And that started JAM, Joint Aid Management, that Peter and his wife Ann started. And now, 36 years later, in 7 African countries, JAM is feeding 1 million people every day. They've built farms, etc. Peter says, Jack, you give me one Starbucks a month. You give me $50 a month. I can feed a kid every day for a year for $50. www.jamint.com. People, guests that have truly learned to let go and let God, have done phenomenal things. When we pray to God, we're always telling God what we want him to do. We want them to tweak our spouse, tweak our in-laws, tweak our kids, tweak the neighbor, tweak the politicians, tweak the Lions, okay? Tweak our employees, our bosses. God, friends, is not in the tweaking business. God is in the transformation business. That's a huge thing that I've personally learned and come to believe and also see week after week after week from these phenomenal guests. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on Newstalk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasul. This is Anything Is Possible. And tonight marks our 800th show, 15 plus years. I asked, as a follow-up to the Peter Pretorius, I asked him later for his philosophy of life. Here's what he said. Life really begins when you go beyond yourself, taking on what seem to be impossible challenges for the purpose of assisting others. Fulfillment comes as a result of seeing lives changed by what you've done. And I would add, what God has done through you. People say, Jack, you've had astronauts, Miss Americas, Hall of Famers, cardinals, governors, senators, business leaders, non-for-profit leaders. Who's been the best? Well, we've had him three times. He's now 36 years old. He's this generation's Billy Graham. Just had twin daughters, so him and his wife now have two sons and two daughters. Last year, he reached 600 million people. Friends, if it be true that we have to be God's arms and legs, and I think that's how God works every day. He uses us. We have to be his arms and legs. I've never met a man that does that better than Nick Vujicic. V-U-J-I-C-I-C. They call him the limbless evangelist. He's born with no limbs. No stumps. On the left foot is a little 8-inch kind of chicken bone, he calls it. His humor is phenomenal. Billions of hits on YouTube. If you want to look him up, Nick, N-I-C-K, V-U-J-I-C-I-C. Phenomenal. His humor. He'll tell you he's now met 30 people in the world that he can wrestle with. I saw him one time, and he was on his way to Thailand, and he says, if you go to Thailand and talk about Christ, they arrest you. But Jack, I'm not too worried, because it's not like the handcuffs are going to work on me, Jack. So he disarms kids with his humor. I saw him on Trinity Broadcast Network about 6 months ago. Mr. and Mrs. Crouch were talking to him. And they said, Nick, how many presidents have you met with? And he said, well, if you count dictators, I think it's 18. Don't quote me on the country, but I think it was Ecuador. He said, recently I was in Ecuador giving a speech. And after the speech, and they put him on a table, you know, when he's got a little microphone by the ear to the mouth, and little motorized cart that a handler takes him around in. So after the speech, they put me in a room in the back, and I'm sitting there calming down, and the door opens. And here comes a few guys with Uzis. Opened the door, got Uzis. I looked at him, and I said, was it something I said? And then they kind of opened up a path, and here's a man in a suit. And he says, Nick, my name is so-and-so, and I'm the dictator of this country. I didn't want to come tonight, Nick. My wife forced me. And Nick, I don't believe in God. And after listening to you, Nick, I still don't believe in God. But I want to tell you a story. Later this week, in our Congress, we're going to go vote on a bill that I've been the sponsor of. I'm the one pushing it. And basically, the bill says that if a woman's pregnant and we know something's wrong with that fetus, we'll abort that fetus. And then he put his arm on Nick's shoulder, and he said, Nick, after listening to you tonight, I've come to realize I was wrong. And I'm going to go on national TV tomorrow, Nick, and I'm going to tell my people I was wrong. Can you imagine that? A politician saying that. And, Nick, we're not going to vote on that bill. We're not going to be doing that, Nick. That's wrong. I've never met a man who's God's arms and legs and does that any better than Nick Vujicic, who was born with no arms and no legs. First time we had him on, he was 23 years old, 23-year-old kid, and he's talking, and he says, Jack, write down the word disable, D-I-S-A-B-L-E. He says, okay, now put a G and an O in front of it. 23-year-old kid. He says, Jack, what do you get? God is able. And he says, Jack, we're all disabled. On the inside, on the outside, we're all flawed. We're all under construction. That's all God's got to work with. But if we let God use us with all our frailties, all of our prejudices, all of the negative stuff, it's amazing what God can do in spite of us, through us. I've written many books. Look them up. Nick Vujicic, V-U-J-I-C-I-C. I think he was 29. Had him on again, and I said, Nick, let's go back. If God came to you today and said, I'll give you those arms and legs you begged for, you cursed me for, your choice, Nick, what would you say? And he said, Jack, let me tell you a story. I was in Liberia a while ago, speaking hot summer night, 10,000 people sitting and standing on a hill. And the dictator of Liberia is in the first row. And I'm on the stage, and I see this woman coming down with a blanket, holding a blanket. Takes her about a half an hour to come through as I'm talking. She comes right up to the stage while I'm speaking, opens the blanket, and holds up her infant son, who's missing an arm. And in Liberia, if you're born with a blemish, they end your life. And there's the dictator within 10 feet of her. And the crowd goes crazy. This mom has sentenced her son, her infant son, to instant death. So this 29-year-old kid says he can waddle with this little chicken claw on the left foot. And he falls on you. That's how he hugs you. He falls on you, and then he can bounce up. So he stops what he's saying. He goes and hugs the little baby, bounces back up, and starts to tell the crowd how special this baby is to God and how this baby's going to be remembered hundreds of years from now in Liberia, going to become one of the most famous Liberians of all time, going to change the country. And then he said, Jack, I'm proud to say that for the last 6 months, Liberia hasn't killed an infant because of a blemish. And Heavenly Father, if I had the arms and the legs, that would have never happened. So no thanks, God. I don't need those arms and those legs. We had him on for the 500th show. He was 32. I said, Nick, when you die and you hear the six greatest words anyone can ever hear, well done, good and faithful servant, what are you going to say to God? And he looked, he says, say to God, Jack, I'm just going to kiss his feet. I'm just going to kiss our Heavenly Father's feet. And then, Jack, I think for the first several days, all we're going to do, each of us, is we're just going to be floating around all day in heaven, and we're going to say the same two words. Over and over. And those two words are going to be, of course. Of course, of course, because we're going to understand God's master plan and why all this stuff happened, didn't happen, etc. Nick Vujicic. I got to thank some people. First, the late, great Mike Feasey, who took an unbelievable chance on giving me this opportunity. Unbelievable. Then, when he went to Huntington, Tom O'Brien became our leader, and now Steve Finitari is our leader. So I thank those three. Program managers at WJR, Steve Stewart, currently Mike Wheeler. Our producers, John Marshall for the first several years, and Mark Blackwell. They're the magicians. They make this show what it is. Kelly Fisher has been the wind beneath my wings for 27 years. She's the one that gets the guest, does the research. Phenomenal. Our sponsors, without them, there is no show. And lastly, most of all, you, our loyal listeners. I thank you. It's been an honor. God bless. Inspo home.